Peace of Christ be with you. Happy Friday, y'all. Yes. And we have some visitors checking out Hope College's prospective students. We want to welcome you to Hope College. Thanks for being here. Hey, one official announcement. 1 week until spring break. All right. And the big thaw among the earth will happen. And we will experience the glory of the Lord. 1 week from now, it's spring break, but you know, I gotta live here now. And I have a tendency to kind of get ahead of myself. It's a spiritual practice we gotta pay attention to. To help us think about that, I wanna introduce one of my good friends, Lauren Taylor. She's spending some time with our staff this week. And would you please give Lauren Taylor from Triangle Presbyterian Church down in the Triangle, Durham, Raleigh area, North Carolina, would you please give her a warm Hope College welcome?
Oh, Hope College! It is so fun to be here. Hey, this morning I want to talk about the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, when most people hear the book of Ecclesiastes mentioned, the first thing that comes to mind is a phrase like, life is meaningless, or all is vanity, or something like that, because those are the phrases that are repeated over and over and over again in the book. I couldn't find anything definitive on the origins of Ecclesiastes, but I have a feeling, I just have a hunch, that it was probably written somewhere in ancient West Michigan, somewhere around the middle of February. No, it's March now, spring is almost here, hallelujah. More seriously, I love the book of Ecclesiastes. I love Ecclesiastes because I think it's a conversation that can be really helpful for those of us who feel caught in circles of unsettledness. Does that make sense? For those who feel discontent. It's a book that's written for anyone who feels eclipsed by worry or anxiety about the future. So let me invite you to open your ears and to hear the word of God. I, the teacher, when king over Israel, applied my mind to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. I saw all the deeds under the sun, and see, all is vanity, a chasing after the wind. I said to myself, come now, I will make a test of pleasure. Enjoy yourself. And so I searched with my mind how to lay hold of folly until I might see what was good for mortals to do. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I gathered for myself silver and gold and all the treasure of kings. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me. And then I considered all that my hands had done. And again, all was vanity, a chasing after the wind. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh God, you call to us. May we be grateful enough to listen, and may you be graceful enough to receive us. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, I love this book. I love it because it speaks to me when I feel restless with life as it is. Let me tell you why. Ecclesiastes was written right around the time that money was invented, when coins, a common currency, first appeared, and it changed everything. Money suddenly became something that everyone could have. You didn't need to sell your harvest in exchange for cattle. You could sell your harvest and get money, and you could collect it and save it up. It became a commodity, a measure of success. And so as the economy began to shift its center around money, those that used to simply pray for rain or for a good harvest, they began to dream of what it might be like to have money, to have a lot of it. Maybe even to be wealthy one day. And it wasn't long before these dreams of success began to cloud the present reality. Everyone was trying to get ahead in life, trying to climb the ladder to get to the top because for the first time in human history, there was actually a ladder to climb. And it made people think that if they were unhappy with their lot in life, with enough hard work and elbow greased, they could move on up to what they thought would be a better life. So the demand for work increased, and the willingness to work increased. There were longer days and more hours, more travel, longer travel, more moving, more working, even working on the Sabbath. This seems to be the birth of the insatiable drive to get to the next thing, to get to that next rung on the ladder, to get a hold of what was ever just over there. This allure of success, it whispered in people's ears at all hours of the day and night, and it convinced them that if they could only get there, then they'd be happy. And we see this thought echoed in our text this morning. And if I'm honest, I see this thought echoed in my life this morning. I could guess that this thought is even echoing in this room. If we could just get there, if I could just get into that program, if I could just find the right person to date, if I could just find the best roommates, or the best course schedule, or major, or career path, if I could just get there, then I would be happy. Then I'd be content. I'd finally find joy. In order to shed some more light on this ancient source of wisdom, I thought maybe for a minute we could look at a leading contemporary source of wisdom. And of course, I'm talking about Sesame Street. There's a scene in Sesame Street where Grover and Harry, who are puppets, are trying to explain to a little puppet what the vocabulary words here and there mean. So the little guy comes up to them and he says, "Excuse me, I was wondering if you'd be willing to help me understand what the words here mean and what the words there mean, because I don't know." So Grover and Harry agree, and Harry tells the little guy, "Okay, you stay here, I'm gonna go over there." And so he walks across the room. Well, the little guy is standing there with Grover, and he said, and Grover explains, "See, you're standing here. Harry is standing over there." Well, the little guy thinks for a minute, and then he says, "Okay, well, I wanna be there." So Grover says, "Great, walk on over." So he walks across the room and he gets to Harry and he said, "Hi, I'm there, right?" And Harry says, "No, you're here. Grover is over there." So he furrows his brow and he says, "Okay, well, I want to be there." So Harry says, "Great," and sends him back over. So he gets to Grover and he says, "Hi, I'm there, right?" Grover says, "No, you're here. Harry is over there." So the cycle continues, but I think you get the picture. The point being, there is where you might want to be, but here is where you are. There is where you might want to be, but here is where you are. Always chasing after there is exhausting. It's not fulfilling. And bad news, it's endless. Think back to high school, right? The chase might have been getting good grades and making it onto this team and getting the right AP scores and test scores all so that you could get into the right school. And then what happened? You made it to the right school. And now the chase might be getting the right internships and knowing the right professors, making the right connections all so that you could get the right job. And then guess what? Once you get the right job, it starts all over again. Then you've got to worry about getting the right reviews from the boss and adding the right things to your resume and making the right networks of people. This chasing after whatever's over there, this chase, it never ends. And so this is my point. Ecclesiastes tells us to stop, to take a step back from this crazy race and consider. You are here in this moment. You don't need to chase after joy and contentment over there. You can find it right here. Look to your left. Look to your right. There is joy here in this room, on this campus at Hope College, that is just as fulfilling as whatever joy you might find out there. Now, on its own, it might be easy to just shrug your shoulders and say, well, life is meaningless anyways. This is all meaningless. I might as well just give in. But that's not right either. Jesus comes onto the scene in the Gospels, right? And he tells us and shows us what the kingdom of God looks like and says, that's what you are to chase after. He feeds the hungry. He heals the sick. He lifts up the voices of those people on the margins of societies. And he spends time worshiping and being with the Father. And all of this, these are pieces of what God's kingdom looks like. And all of that is what we are to be chasing after. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus says. So let me invite you to examine your hearts for a minute while I examine mine. Do you recognize the joy in this place? Are you too focused on getting somewhere else? Are you chasing after the kingdom of God right here, right now? Do you seek that first? Or do you spend too much time in this race? May we continually be asking these sorts of questions and continually finding our fulfillment in God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.